this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says, "And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would meet with us this morning. God, that your Holy Spirit would have the freedom to do a work. That, God, we would be responsive. That we would not sit back and allow our own thoughts and desires to distract from what your word is trying to accomplish in our individual lives and the life of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. God, we pray your blessings upon this, this message, and we'll thank and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the question I have for you, and I'll tie it into the bus in just a moment, I promise. As you look at this, they point to this group of people, the disciples, and they said, "These are they that have turned the world upside down." What would it take for someone to describe Southeast Baptist Tabernacle as they that have turned the world upside down? What would it take for you to be described at work? This is the guy that turned our workplace upside down. This is the guy that turned our school upside down. What would it take for someone to describe us that way? In essence, what I'm going to ask is, I'm going to ask the same question three different ways. Are you impacting the world that you're in, or are you being impacted by the world that you're in? Do you see the difference? Are you making a difference in your workplace, in your school, in this church, in your family? Or are you allowing that influence? And that would be my next question. Are you influencing the world that you're in, or are you being influenced by the world that you're in? And it all comes up to this last question that we had to deal with yesterday a lot, talking about the temperature. The question is this: are you a thermometer, or are you a thermostat? You know what the difference is, right? At least two people in this room are better to understand the difference, since that they're living. Maybe three now, I guess. But, you know, a thermometer does what? Tells you what the temperature is. And you know, people walk into Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. We have visitors here today. They walk into our church, and they immediately get a temperature reading based upon, you know, how the people are, right? Is this a church on fire for God? Is this a warm and friendly church? Is this cold and unwelcoming? You know, immediately they get a reading. And there are thermometers sitting out here. But there are also thermostats. What's a thermostat do? It changes the temperature, right? It changes the temperature. And so what we're looking for God to do in our lives is not just to give us the opportunity to tell people the temperature, but that God would so use us that we would adjust the temperature. So that people would point to us and say, "These are they that have turned up the heat." Some of you are saying, "Amen, that's what we need to do, preacher. You keep it cold in this place." I know, Ella, I do start it out chilly, but it's not chilly anymore, is it? So you know, that's the idea, is that we want to ask God. God, so as we're going into this message, God, I don't want to be just a thermometer. I want you to use me to turn the world upside down. Father, we're going to ask you one more time. Let us stop and pause. Put aside things that might distract us. And take seriously what you might want to do so that we might be used to make a difference in the world that you've put us into. In Jesus' name. Let's take a look at this passage here. You know, go back in verse 1. We're just going to simply show you what these people were doing. Here's the disciples. They're pointed out as those that have turned the world upside down. Let's just see what they were doing. Because if we could emulate what they were doing, then God might use us to change the world that we are in. And the world you are in is whatever world you walk into tomorrow at the office, whatever world you walk into next Wednesday at school, for the kids at FC anyway, whatever world you walk into at home, this afternoon. That's the world that God wants you to turn upside down. And every time you come into the doors of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, there's an obligation that comes with it and a responsibility to be used of God to change the temperature. Not just to tell us what it is, but to be used of God. And so that's what we're going to look at. Go back to verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came into Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, please note the next phrase here, it's that clause right there, as his manner was, which means what? He was in the habit of doing this. You know, he was in the habit of doing this. Now, guys, if we're going to be used by God to turn the world upside down, then the Christian life has got to start becoming habit, right? It's not that spurt that happens every now and again. Teenagers, you made a lot of great decisions at camp, and if you really want God to change the way he's using you, then you're going to have to take those decisions beyond yesterday, and you're going to have to put them to work on a regular, make them habit, so that reading my Bible isn't something that I do because, oh, I was reminded of at revival. It's something I do out of habit. It's something I do as the manner of my life is. So that praying becomes the manner of my life. So that being used by God to be that thermometer, or that barometer, I'll say it right, that thermostat is a manner or a way of life for us. So here's Paul as the manner of life. Let's keep going and see what he's doing. Went in unto them. Stop there. It starts someplace, right? It's got to start someplace. So, if I go to work and do all this stuff I've never done before, what are they going to think? It's got to start someplace. Do you understand how this happens? If you and I keep talking ourselves out of it because we've never been this way at school before, we've never been this way at home, but what's my family going to think if all of a sudden I become, you know, this holy Joe? What are they going to think? And if we talk ourselves out of embracing what God has for us, because they've never seen it that way before, it's got to start someplace. And so here's what they do. They go in. They start. The Apostle Paul begins this process by simply saying, I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. And when you leave here this afternoon, hopefully it won't be afternoon. Some of you think, afternoon? What's he talking about? Yeah, I usually get out before noon, I know. But when you leave here this morning, whether you like it or not, you can't change this. There's nothing you can do to change it. If you walked out right now, there's nothing you can do to change this. You're leaving with a decision. You understand? And you're either deciding, I'm going to walk into letting God change the way I'm doing things, or you're going to say, I'm going to be a lazy, good-for-nothing Christian who doesn't really love God enough to... Oh, I wouldn't say that out loud. I'm sorry. I'm just beating you up like they did me at camp this week. Man, I tell you, he smacked us around, spit us out, and then said, I love you. Yes, be quiet. He did a great job. I mean, Will Gawkin preached and preached hard, and it was good. But I tell you, we're going to leave here today having made a decision. And I hope the decision that you make is, I'm going to go in. I'm going to, like the Apostle Paul, I'm going to start the process someplace. I'm going to let God change the way he's using me at home and at work and at school and at the store. Say, Pastor, that sounds tiring. No, what it sounds is blessed. That's what it sounds like. So it says, he went in. Let's keep going. We're still in verse 2. And he went in unto them, and please notice the next phrase, and three Sabbath days reasoned with him out of the Scriptures. Three Sabbath days. Now that means what? 3 weeks, all right? So don't make this hard. It's three Saturdays for the Jewish people. So three Sabbath days, he's staying there. He goes into the synagogue, and he's going to reason with them. Now, this is important. The Apostle Paul says, I want to be a difference maker. I'm willing to be used of God to turn my world upside down. I'm willing to be used of God to change the temperature in the room. And I'm not willing just to sit back and do nothing anymore. So I'm going to go in, first thing. The second thing is, he begins to reason, but in that process of beginning to reason, in other words, he brings up in conversation the things that need to be said. Now, he's not rude about it, and he's not mean about it. You know, Christians do not have to be arrogant and pushy in order to get the message across. You understand? You don't find that in the Bible. Jesus makes an invitation. Any who will can come and drink of this water. It's very seldom it's the in your face. When you see Jesus or any of the apostles being in your face with people, it is with people who are playing church. It's with the Christian crowd. And Jesus looks at those scribes and Pharisees and says, snakes and vipers, and he's not friendly about it. That's the in your face. But to everyone else, he says, here, would you come and sit and have lunch with me? He begins the conversation. And the Apostle Paul is willing to go in. And then notice the second part of the Apostle Paul here. Not only does he go in and start reasoning, but he's willing to stick around. If you think that you're going to go to school Wednesday, teenager, and pray over your lunch, and all of a sudden everybody wants to come to church with you, that's not how this works. This is, you're in it for the long haul. Do you understand? The Apostle Paul comes in, and he's willing to reason, and he sticks around, and he's willing to wait on the Lord, and he takes some time. And if we're gonna ever get to verse 6, where somebody looks at us and says, that's the guy that turned my family upside down. Now, God, I've been in both sides of this equation, when God has used me and when I've been less usable to the Lord. I've been on both sides. But when I first got saved, 16 years of age, I was the only one in my family that knew the Lord. And my mom and dad, I'll take that back, my mom and dad were saved people but not living for the Lord. And I know what it's like to see God use you to make a difference. It was so cool because within the next 3 years, my brother, who's now a Baptist preacher, got saved. My sister got saved. My mom got right with God. My dad got right with God. And I began to watch. And it was such a joy. And then I reached a point in my life when I got caught up in what I wanted. And I became content with being a thermometer. And everybody could tell the temperature. Look at John, there he is. Oh, a little cold today. And all I became was a thermometer. And I'm not content with being a thermometer. I do not want to be a thermometer at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. I want God to use this preacher to change the temperature of this little world of ours right here. And I want then us to go out and begin to work patiently with those in our own world, reasoning with them and letting God work so that it makes a difference in what's happening in our family, in our church, in our community. And so this is the Apostle Paul. He's reasoning with them. He's taking his time to do it. But take a look at the end of verse 2. This is important. He does not reason with them out of politics. We're not trying to convince the world to vote for the right person. Do you understand? That's not why we're here. That's not why we exist. Southeast Baptist Tabernacle doesn't exist for this reason, and God didn't leave you alive to exist for that reason. That's not why you're here. We do not go out and reason with people, you know, on morality. Do I think that our morals out there are nuts? I do. It's a crazy world we live in when people can't figure out what gender they are. Hello? Just ask the person sitting closest to you. There's a 50-50 chance they're going to get it right. You get the idea? I mean, this is not hard. But our job is not to go out there and convince people of morality. Our job is to reason with people from the Scripture, which means, folks, we've got to be people who understand the Scripture ourselves. We've got to be reading it and carrying it with us, at least in our mind and our heart. So here's the Apostle Paul giving us an example. Do we ever want to be this person that God uses to turn the world upside down. You don't get to verse 6 without going through verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Doesn't happen. That's what verse 6 is all about. So he goes in, and he stays for a while, and he reasons with people from the scripture. Keep going. Verse 3, opening and alleging. And what are the next two words? That, hey, listen, I'm not even trying to get you to go out and try to reason with people about Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. Do you understand? This church is not the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. It's all about him. Do you understand this? And when sometimes we get to where we think, okay, I need to persuade people to this political party. I need to persuade people to this church. I need to persuade people to this way of thinking. And we've forgotten what we're here for. Out of the scriptures, reasoning with people about Christ and who he is. There's nothing else that matters. Because without Christ, all die and go to hell. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's all about Jesus. Are we ready to go back to school Wednesday, teenager, and make a difference? To go back to work tomorrow and make a difference, because I am going to look for and make opportunities to reason with people about Christ from the scripture. Say, Pastor, you're trying to get me fired. I'm not, but I am trying to get us to make a difference. And without Christ, there's no difference to be made. If we persuade everyone to vote for our candidate and persuade everyone to think like we do morally and persuade everyone to attend a good church next Sunday and persuade no one to Christ, what difference have we made? Seriously. Do we really think the world is going to be a better place from politics? Or be a better place? Okay, better place being. The world might be a better place, but eternity, right? Okay, so the world's a better place. We have a better president for the next 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. I don't care. When they die without Christ, they spend eternity someplace. And that's the difference maker. And at some point, if we're going to be used by God to turn our world upside down, it's got to be more than we're just going to be nice people and smile a lot. You know, we used to, back in the 70s, we called those people Moonies, flower children. They'd stand out in the airport, remember, and they'd smile a lot. They were nice. They'd give you flowers. You walked by. How much of a difference did that make? How many of you ever got a Mooney flower? Anybody here get a Mooney flower? Three or four of us. That's about it. Made a huge difference in your life, didn't it? Wow, forever changed. No, it did nothing. We've got to do more than that. And God's not just asking us to be smiling people. I want you to smile, by the way. You look so much better when you smile. So I want that, but that's not it. He reasons with people out of the scripture about Christ. Look what it says. Not just about Christ. Without he must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach, is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that you need. I had a young man this week that struggled with this concept that he needs Christ, and we've been praying for him. Camp's just an incredible place to make some things happen. And I'm going to bring some challenge. By the way, don't you dare chicken out on tonight, all right? Because this is not really about the kids. It's not. It's about you. Some of you don't even know. Some of you have never been to a camp service because you say to yourself, I don't have any kids. It's not about me. And so you don't understand that the challenge is for us. When we walk out of the camp service, I promise you, you're going to be humbled, and you're going to be asking God to give you something of what you're seeing in the lives of these kids. You're going to be wanting it, but you won't know unless you're here. But anyway, so it's about Christ, and we're preaching Christ the Messiah. So let's go on down to verse 4. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. Hey, you know what happens when you walk into works tomorrow and you take a different attitude toward the things of God and toward why you're there? Some, not everybody, and it may take a few Sabbaths for this to happen, but some will actually start to think about what you're saying and come to believe it. That's making the difference. Some believed. But guess what? I can't promise you that the next thing won't also happen. Look at verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Do you know, I can't promise you, teenager, I can't promise that when you go to school Wednesday, that all your friends are going to say, oh, I'm so glad what God did for you at camp. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Let me know if I can help you. Probably not going to happen. But some might. There may be just one teenager, think about this, who would spend all eternity with you in heaven because you said, I'm going to make a difference and talk about Christ. And if everyone else despises you, then for the next 50 years, you'll be despised. But for all eternity thereafter, you'll be with a friend who'll be thanking God for what you did every moment of eternity. Short changeover, isn't it? I can't guarantee you that you're not going to go to work and that somebody's going to say, you shouldn't be talking like this. I can't guarantee that there aren't some ramifications to standing up and living for Christ. In fact, I can actually guarantee it the other way around. Jesus said, if you follow me, then men will revile you and hate you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I can guarantee you there's going to be somebody out there that's not going to like you speaking up. But I can also guarantee that unless you and I take upon ourselves the first 5 verses, we will never get to verse 6, where God uses us to change the world. And I'm not talking about the whole world out there. Say, Pastor, I'm just this little guy. Nobody even knows me. I understand. You know, really, honestly, if you don't know this, to you and I, Southeast Baptist Tabernacle is a big deal. But you get outside about 350, 400 people, and people say, who? What? Where? You know, we're just a small church in the scheme of things. I understand that. And if you start asking people who've heard of Pastor John Ray, you're going to, well, once you get past 2 or 3, you're done outside of this room. You understand? I mean, that's the way it is. But God says, I want you to turn your world upside down. And your world is where you work and where you live and where you go to school. And God will use you